and just look at verse 16 of Romans chapter 1. It's probably not going to be one that is unfamiliar to you. And the idea is unashamed, standing and living for Christ in 2024. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Right before we pray, I did want to mention one thing that I wanted to make sure that was clear, and that is next week, Pastor mentioned last week that Dan Mills and his wife Teresa are going to be with us, and we're looking at him, and he's looking at us as assistant pastor of visitation and facility. And so I want you to be aware he's with us next week. So make your plans to be with us. Obviously, we know Matt Mills and Andrea. This is Matt's dad, and what a great ministry that Matt and Andrea have had here. And we're just thrilled with the opportunity to see if to explore God's leading in Matt, Dan, and Teresa's life as a possible addition to the staff here in regards to that. And so be here next week, and we'll tell you more about that. But we definitely want you to meet them next week. I wanted to make sure I remembered that and to make sure that we're aware of all of that. There's also a business meeting at the end of the month. That's at the end of the bulletin as well. A little blue blurb there as well. Now I don't have to give announcements at the end of the hour because I'll probably forget what those are anyway. And but let's pray and let's dive into the scriptures this morning, shall we? Father, thank you for the morning. We thank you again for the privilege of being able to take your word and dive into it. Lord, we pray you give us a vision for 2024, we pray. Move in our hearts, we pray in Christ's name, amen. Have you ever done anything that you're ashamed of? Don't answer that, don't look anywhere. I mean, you know, you were totally embarrassed by something that you said or you did, and you realized, man, if I had it to go over again, it was fun, but I probably wouldn't do that again. I told the Sunday school class that I'll tell a story about my brother and I because it's the wording of the thing that for me is makes the most sense. But we're seniors in high school. Oh, Brother Hurst, I see you sitting here. I didn't think you'd be here as I'm sharing this. But nonetheless, anyway, it's years later. It's under the blood. So we're sitting in English class, and Miss Craven is our English teacher. Paul Schmiel, are you in the... I know Paul was around here, but at any rate, he was actually in the room when this happened. And I'm in the back of the room, and I'm talking. And Miss Craven says, "Eric, come up front now." And so I get up front, and I go and I sit right in front of her desk. And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, this is boring because all the fun's in the back of the room, you know. And so, you know, we end class, and the thing about it is, and the last thing she said to me walking out the door, she said, "And don't try switching places with your brother because I can tell you apart." I already knew she couldn't. I mean, I've been in her class for the last 3 years and she couldn't tell us apart. So for the next 2 days, I convinced my brother to not much success, swap places with me. She'll never know. Walking into class, Mark's like, "I'm not doing that. I mean, I am not going to be a victim to your foolishness." That's what he said. "I am not going to be a victim to your foolishness." Walking in, he says, "Let's do it." So I go to the back of the room. Mark goes to the front of the room. And what happens? "Mark, come up here and sit next to your brother." I mean, I must be stupid or something, right? And I'm in the back of the room, and I'm talking, probably because it's Paul and others that are back there as well. Mark whips around, and he's like, "Eric, come on! I mean, what, can't you keep your mouth shut for a moment?" I mean, Miss Craven, I didn't have anything to do with that. She said, "Sit down, come sit next to your brother. Both of you are up front now." And you know, her words were, "You ought to be ashamed of yourself." And I'm thinking, yeah, but that sure was cool. That sure was awesome. And I leaned over and I said, "See, I told you she couldn't tell us apart, right?" And as I look back at that, I'm thinking, yeah, I should have been ashamed because I was talking when I wasn't supposed to. I'm causing other people to sin by doing what he didn't want to do to begin with. And I'm looking back at this and I'm thinking, you know what? I should be ashamed of that kind of a thing. And you know, by the end of that day, I went back to Miss Craven and I worked it out. And I said, you're exactly right. I wasn't right. And what I did was not respectful to you. It wasn't respectful to the class. And I will take care of it the next time we're together. And I did. And I did. Because I realized that's shameful. You ever done anything shameful? How about when you're not ashamed? Maybe it's your family. I am not ashamed of my family, and I will stand for my family. There's two sides of this, where you stand in shame, or you stand strong, unashamed. Here's a goal for 2024. Unashamed. Mrs. Henry kind of got me on the kick of kind of picking a word for a year. This is my word for this year. Unashamed. No matter what happens, I will stand before my God unashamed. I am not going to be ashamed of him. Standing and living for Christ in 2024. Often you find these stories, such as the man by the name of Peter, who when confronted about his friendship and companionship with the Lord said, I don't know the man. I'll deny you not once. I'll deny you not twice. I'll deny you three times. And Mark says, their eyes meet. And what does Peter do? He goes out and he weeps bitterly. Why? Totally ashamed of what he had just done to his Lord. The story would continue to a man by the name of Saul, who on a road to Damascus would see the light, the glory of the Lord, as he hears the voice of the Lord saying, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Remember, in the previous chapter, he had just stood and had the robes of those that stoned Stephen placed at his feet. He consented to the stoning of Stephen. That's how Acts chapter 7, introduces itself. Acts chapter 8. He consents to the stoning of Stephen. And on his back, I'd like to think, reared back, gazing at this light that would blind him, he stands ashamed, realizing, I'm persecuting the Lord. I am persecuting his church. I am persecuting his people. Remember, it was Paul that said, of sinners, of whom I am what? Chief. Man, I can't believe. I mean, I thought it was the right. I can't believe I did that. Lord, I stand ashamed. But it's not so long in those stories that you realize that people begin to grow through moments like that. We watch as Peter grows into a powerful proclaimer of the truth. As he stands and he publicly proclaims Christ, I denied him once, I will proclaim him now. And he becomes a great declarer of truth. Saul is transformed from Saul to Paul and becomes one of the greatest missionaries we will ever meet. Transforming soul after soul, revolutionizing groups of people for the cause of Christ. And it is that which is profitable to the Jew and also to the barbarian, the Gentile, the Greek, you name it. It's profitable for all. Both of these men were overcomers. They were victors and not victims, winners not losers. They amounted to exactly what God had for them, and they became unashamed. And they stood unashamed. This morning, in the brief moments that we have together, here's a message and a challenge. Unashamed. Standing and living for Christ in 2024. You have an outline. There was an outline, and hopefully you've got one. I don't know if anybody can get you one at this point if you don't have one, but it's pretty simple. You can jot it down as we go through it. I have the clicker here. Here's the first point. When you talk about this, let's get the first point on the board. Stand unashamed. Realize this. You will make the choice every day to stand ashamed of what you read in this book and pass it by, or you will stand unashamed of it, and you will live it, and you will practice it, and you will obey it. Every moment that you live presents us with an opportunity to take this word and say, God, I'm not ashamed of what you have commanded me to do, and I will do it to the best of my ability. Through the power that you give me, through your Son, I will walk it out. What are some things that we can see in Romans chapter 1 that help us stand unashamed? Here's the first one. Recognize who I am in Christ. When I come to the realization of who I am in Christ, it gives me the ability to stand unashamed for Him. Here's what we mean by that. Here's our first point. Look at the first verse. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant. It's the Greek word doulos. It means a slave, one belonging to a master. Let me pause and say there's two groups in this room, as there are always. One is that you are servants of the Lord or you are servants of the world. That's it. I'm going to find myself fitting in one of those areas. Either I'm saved and my sins are forgiven, or I'm lost and I'm bound to an eternity separated from Christ if something doesn't change. I am either a servant of the Lord or I am a servant of the world. Maybe you're visiting Hillsdale this morning and you're hoping, because this is the time when you renew things, that I'm in church. Why? I'm trying to be here because it just felt like the right thing to do. Or maybe I'm here because my life is a mess and I'm starting out the beginning with good things was a resolution of mine. Maybe you're here because as a believer, you're seeking anew and afresh the face of God. And Lord, I want this year to be a year that's different for you. Maybe you're here because you're always here and you're just expecting God to do what He always does. But are you expecting Him to do something right now? Yeah, we're just always here. Or am I going to make a commitment? I'm going to stand unashamed because I'm recognizing who I am in Christ. Paul uses this term several times, one here in Romans. Once in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul and Timotheus, servants of Jesus Christ. In Titus chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of God. The most important thing to note here is that Paul is choosing to serve God willingly. It's not the true nature of a slave like we would know it. You know, Paul is recognizing, God, you are my Lord, and I serve you by choice. I am your servant. I am recognizing who I am in you as a believer. I am a servant. Listen, God doesn't force you to do anything. You ever thought about that? He doesn't force you to accept Him. He wants you to. It's His will that all would come to repentance, but He doesn't force you to accept Him. He doesn't force you to love Him. He doesn't force you to serve Him. He doesn't force you to live for Him. He doesn't force you to obey Him. Now, He doesn't let us get away with things as His children, but He doesn't force you to do anything. Paul says, I am a servant by choice, by the will of God, but by choice. And I make it a choice to serve you, to come under your authority. You want to stand unashamed? Come under His authority. Start trying to do your own thing and come out from underneath His authority, because that's when we end up doing the things that we're ashamed of. I will stand unashamed because I recognize in you I am your servant. Or are you His servant? Paul was not forced to do that. For in 1 Corinthians 7:22, we read, for he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Understand that there is no greater freedom that could ever impact and touch the human soul like the freedom that's found in Jesus Christ. He says, I don't serve because I have to. I serve because I want to. And when He says do it, I do it unashamed. When he says, open my mouth, I open it unashamed because I know that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I am your servant, my Lord. Are you his servant today? Recognize who I am. Galatians 4:7. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir to God, heir of God through Christ. It's a service by choice. Not with eye service. Ephesians 6:6 says, as man pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Paul is saying, I don't serve God to please men. I don't do it for applause. I don't do it because I tell myself to. I do it because I love him and I want to serve him. That is my choice. 2024 could be a totally different year for us because we just decided to become a servant of the God that we've already given our heart to. You ever thought about that? God, I'm your servant. I'm recognizing who I am in him. Understanding what Paul is saying and then equate it to our thought this morning. If I am to stand unashamed for Christ in 2024, I must first recognize who I am in him. I am his servant. Salvation is not only a privilege, but it also involves a responsibility specifically to God. Think about that. It is the greatest privilege that we have as human beings to be forgiven and made right before God. But with that comes a great responsibility that I recognize him as Lord and I become his servant. Throughout the scriptures, it is clear that God does not place great emphasis on the service or the servant. Rather, a lot of times what we will see him doing is what he is doing in and through the servant. You stay yielded and God will do what he wants to do in me and through me far more than I could ever ask or think. You see, it's not about me, it's about him. And it's about what he's doing in my life and through my life as his servant. It is God that works in us and as his willing servants when he works according to his good will and his pleasure in our life, what happens? He is giving the increase. He's doing what he wants in me and in others as I have opportunity to serve. Second, he says apostle. This is an interesting one. Do we have apostles today? Why not? Called of Christ. Specifically, right? Called by the Lord. Paul can say this. You know, I was doing some research on this over the last couple of days, and one guy was saying, have you seen the Lord? Boy, my heart has. I haven't seen him in the flesh, and I don't consider myself apostle. I believe this is one of the gifts that was passed away. It's no longer. But boy, I can relate when Paul says, my eyes have seen him. Boy, my heart's seen him. Has your heart seen him? There are people outside these doors that their heart needs to see him too, and he wants us to reach them. And Paul is saying, I'm an apostle. I'm an apostle. So what are we doing? The idea here, it's the apostolos. It's a delegate. It's an ambassador. It's one who represents on behalf of another. Paul is saying, I saw the Lord personally on the road to Damascus, and he said, serve him for the remainder of my life. I am called to be an apostle. I can't say that, but Paul sure could. But don't miss the point. If I am to stand unashamed for Christ in the year 2004, as I recognize who I am in Christ, it will demand that I am separated. Look at it. Look at verse 1. Called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, I must separate myself under the gospel that is the truth of Jesus Christ and live like that is my hope and that is my security. I'm to look like one. Paul said, I saw Christ on that road to Damascus and I am an apostle. Today in the year 2024, I am a born-again believer that experienced through grace that which I could never get on my own. And the understanding that I have in him is the fact that I am now standing on the very gospel that saved me. and I am going to be an ambassador, and I am going to be a delegate to take that message and do what God would have me to do with it. But you could ask yourself, how separated under the gospel do others see you? Think about your priorities. We could ask it that way. What about your priorities? Is Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning a priority for you? Meaning, is this word a priority? Or are there other things? As a delegate, as an ambassador of the Lord, I will be where God's word is being taught. This is a great Sunday to say, hey, I'm going to be unashamed on Sunday, and I'm going to be here. Right? You know, many of you are here week in and week out, and we're so grateful. I can't tell you, it thrills pastor's heart to see you here each week. You're faithful. You're serving. You're ministering. I mean, you're singing in the choir. Kevin, awesome, amazing job. Praise the Lord for your special this morning. We're together. There's a camaraderie. There's fellowship. And you're here every time the doors are open. It rejoices our hearts to see it. But will that be true next week? Or next month? Or 6 months from here? You know, I'm thankful for a pastor that preaches the word. We can stand behind a man, and he's standing on the Lord. Obviously, I'm not elevating a man inappropriately. But pastor makes sure that he preaches that which is thus saith the Lord. It is not opinion, it is Bible truth. And we ought to be so thankful for that. Because here's why. When I come to Hillsdale Baptist Church, I'm going to hear what God says, not what makes me feel good or that which will pat me on the back and go out the door. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. But tell me about this. Am I growing? Boy, I want to be. Lord, I want to be able to take your word and stand unashamed. And so lift up your pastor in prayer as he preaches, because he needs it. As he takes the word and develops a daily devotional every day for us. And I'm in it, and I'm reading it. Why? Because, God, I want to be your servant, and I want to be empowered to be a delegate for you as you have me in this day and age. Lord, make me usable, but keep me close. Lord, let me learn about you. Priorities. Is your devotional life a priority? Your time with him. He gives us the resource. Pastor gives us one every day. So you've got that resource. You've got other resources. Make it a priority, right? How about people? Priorities, that's one area. How about people? Do you agree that people need the Lord today? Lord, let me be a servant. Lord, let me stand unashamed as a delegated representative of you today. It's not any easier to stand for Christ today than it was at any other time frame. You know why? Because all it takes is a choice to do it. And sometimes in great trials, God, I'm doing this. But when things are easy, sometimes it's harder. Think about it. People are hurting. People are struggling. People are struggling physically. Look at what we talked about this morning by way of prayer requests. Tanya and I, we deal with family after family in our school going through divorce and through trial and through this and through that. And it's like people out there need the Lord. People you know need the Lord. Are you going to stand unashamed in 2024 and say, God, I am your servant and I am your delegate. You use me. They need us to tell them. If I'm to stand unashamed for Christ in 2024, it'll demand that I recognize who I am in Christ as his servant, as one separated under the gospel to shine as a light in a world that needs him. Next, one called of Jesus. Look at verse 6. And among whom ye are also called of Jesus Christ. He's talking to the Romans. Hey, you're called of Jesus Christ, but so am I. I'm called. We're all called. Aren't you glad he decided to call you to himself? Aren't you glad that in love and grace and mercy, God reached down from you and said, let me explain to you what I did on Calvary's cross just for you. You are one called. It's the Greek word kletos. It means invited. It means named. Think about this. I've been called by Jesus Christ. I've been invited by Christ. I've been named by Him. Have you ever had somebody famous call you by name? Feels pretty good, doesn't it? When I was the chaplain for the ASA Southern Modified Race Tour, it was cool to be called by name by some of those guys. Hey, Eric, could I get with you for a few minutes? That's kind of cool. I had a conversation with Dale Earnhardt one time. I was standing in line for an autograph. I mean, trust me, it was pleasantries. How you doing? Fine. I talked to Dale Earnhardt. You know, it's kind of cool, right? Somebody famous knows your name and knows who you are. The God of all creation knows you by name. And He's called you. See how precious that is? You want to stand unashamed, recognize who's called you. Nothing else matters. Because again, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I have been called by name, invited. The very one present at creation, prophesied in the Old Testament is the Messiah, purchased my redemption on the cross of Calvary and promises to come again. And while I'm here, hold me. He's called me by name. He's called you. He's invited you to serve Him, live for Him, honor Him, obey Him. The question is simple. Have you responded? He's calling. Jesus is tenderly calling thee home. Calling today. Are you responding? Have I responded to that? It's good thoughts. If I am to stand unashamed in Christ in 2024, Paul says, I can stand unashamed because I've responded to Him as Savior. Is He your Savior? And then I'm responding to Him as owner and possessor of my heart and of my life. Have you responded to Him? If I'm to stand unashamed, I must recognize who I am. I'm a servant. I'm separated under the gospel of Christ, then called by Him for specific things that only He has for me. Next, a saint. Boy, that's a great word. Boy, she's a saint. Boy, he's a saint. That's not what it means here. Hagios. It means holy, morally pure, set apart, and consecrated unto God. Paul is saying, I recognize that as one saved and one that is a delegated representative of Jesus Christ, called by Him, I am to be holy, set apart, consecrated to God and God alone. Paul is saying something that we need to hear and not miss. In order for me to stand unashamed, it's going to demand holy living. I can't be wrestling with the flesh. I've got to get to a place where I say no to the desires that constantly weigh me down and say, God, I'm walking forward. I'm not doing these things anymore. I'm not going to stand in fear when I get opportunity to talk to you. I'm not going there. You have not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I will not stay here. That's what Paul is saying. But I'm holy. We asked about priorities and against people. Here's a question. What about your testimony? What do people know about the Lord based on your testimony? Think about it. Paul is saying, hey, I am holy because God has called us to be saints. Do others see a Christ-like difference in my life? Do others see, as they did in the disciples, a very clear evidence that they have been with Jesus? Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Is there a difference in your speech, in your attitude, in your work ethic? Is there a difference in the way that you dress, the places you go, the things that you do, the things that you allow before your eyes, the music that entertains you? Is there a specific difference in your life? Paul is saying, I will stand unashamed. It doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter what the world will call me. It doesn't matter what the world will do to me. I know who has called me. I know who owns me, and I'm stepping forward. You see, God starts to make a big difference in the life if I take that as a responsibility. Because the world doesn't need more of what it already has in me. What it needs me to do is different. For if I look like the world, have the same views of the world view as the world, if I have the same priorities, the same music, the same work ethic, party like the world, drink like the world, live like the world, hang with the world, dress with the world, you name it, why would they want anything that I've got? Does that make sense? Paul is saying, I don't want you to be weird. I want you to be holy. That is God's desire for us. And so, yeah, we don't apologize for the music on a Sunday morning, that there's not a trap set on the platform. We don't apologize for that. What are we doing? Giving honor to the one who is holy and given his life for us. And it's his that we want to please, right? If I am to stand unashamed for Christ in 2024, it will demand that I recognize who I am in Christ, a servant, an apostle, called of Christ, a saint. But then secondly, I must cherish what Christ has done in me. Paul's not done talking yet. Not only recognize who I am in Christ, but then cherish what he has done for me. Look at verse 14, and this is where it really kind of starts to get real. He says, I'm a debtor. You owe anybody anything? You got a car payment. Man, you hate it, don't you? It's like I finally get rid of a car payment, and now we're getting ready for another one. And you know, we don't like being in debt. That's not what Paul is saying here. As he is talking, he is saying, for I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. It's the Greek word aphiletos. Meaning deeply obligated and bound by duty. Reread that verse. I am deeply obligated and bound by duty both to the Greeks and to the barbarians and to the wise and the unwise. I'm indebted to them. There is a duty that is forcing me to go, not because it's forcing me, I'm choosing. But it's demanding a presence, and I'm yielded, and I'm going. That's where Paul, I'm cherishing what Christ has done for me, so much so that I am deeply bound by duty for these souls that God has given me opportunity to reach. That's what he's saying, right? Keep reading. He's obligated. Paul is stating that he is obligated to God because of his calling that he was given and the service it requires. Indebtedness was deeply felt by Paul. Don't miss that. He's not saying it to bend ears, to tickle ears, or to make something of himself. This is a deep-rooted obligation that Paul felt. It is unwavering. It is unrelenting. It is powerful. It is purposeful. It is all-consuming. How do we know that? 1 Corinthians 9:16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. It's not about me, though I preach. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is me, if I preach not the what? The gospel. Woe unto me if I'm not doing what my duty-bound obligation is to do. You know your duty bound by obligation to reach a soul for Christ? You want to be unashamed in 2024? Recognize who we are in Christ and then cherish what Christ has done for me. We see the indebtedness here. This is why he could say, look at verse 15 in Romans 1. So much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. Because I am so driven by this obligation to preach the gospel, you put me in front of a pulpit and I'm ready. Instant, in season, it doesn't matter. I am ready to preach the gospel because you matter. The souls of men are at stake. Let's apply this. If I'm to stand and live unashamed in 2024, I must realize who I am in Christ, re-cherish what Christ has done for me, and realize that I am duty-bound by my conversion and my calling to take the gospel to a lost and dying world. I don't share because I'm ashamed. Mrs. Bradshaw, who went home to be with the Lord earlier this year, last year in the summertime, told me after a message that I had preached at the old building, she said, she walked up to me just like this, and she said, "You were nervous, weren't you?" Nervous? I was scared to death. It was like my first Sunday morning message ever. And like Sunday nights, those are easy, but Sunday morning, ooh, I mean, you've got the choir. I mean, you've got visitors. I mean, you've got all these people that are scary people, right? But the word that she told me, I've never forgotten it. She said, "Eric, when you are too nervous to preach, you're focused more on you than the ministry God has given you in that moment." I got it. And that zinged me, but boy, did I need it. When we are silent, we stand ashamed. Are you going to stand unashamed in 2024? Grab the obligation of what your conversion and your calling is as a believer. That's what Paul is saying. Jeff Brindle, yesterday, I'm with him, and I know time is escaping us. I don't know how Pastor does it, but at any rate, I'm sitting there talking to Jeff. Medical personnel come in. Every one that came in, he turned the conversation to the Lord. I watched it. "Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior?" "Yep." "Nah, that was too easy." This is what he says. "Do you know Him as your Savior?" "Yeah." "Okay, we'll keep talking. We'll keep talking." And this is 5.5, no blood in his body, barely able to get a full sentence together, in full clarity says, "Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior?" And then guess what he says to me? This is what got me. He said, "Rev," he calls me Rev, "this is my ministry. This is my mission field. I don't like being here, but God's called me here. And I'm going to serve Him where I am." And I'm telling you what, I walked out and got back out to my car, and I'm just meditating on that statement. If I'm at 5.5 liters or whatever units of blood in my body, am I concerned about other people the way I just saw Jeff over and over and over again walk out a duty and an obligation? It was so precious. Standing and living unashamed for Christ as a debtor. I recognize who I am in Christ, and then one that declares, he declares, a debtor and a great declarer. Here's the third point. Must recognize who I am in Christ, cherish what He's done for me, and then thirdly, I must understand that the power of the gospel, is, as it was experienced in my own life, is exactly what others around me need so desperately. The same thing I got. Pastor Bradshaw once said, the old generation needs the same regeneration that the new generation needed. What? The old generation needs the same regeneration that the new generation needs. Young or old, we all need the Lord. People need to experience the power of the gospel. Very simply put, look at verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Ashamed is that word, epaiskuno. I'm not going to say it again because I probably can't. But it means to feel shame about something. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Why? It's powerful. We spent Sunday school talking about God's omnipotence and the power that he has to convert a soul. When you receive Christ, you experience God's omnipotence in your life. When you see a sinner walk the aisle, you watch the omnipotence of God transform a sinner into a saved individual. Don't miss it. It's powerful. There is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we can and will be saved. There is no other way. We had the privilege to be at the Ark last week, and I was just blown away by the huge door that all the things came in, all the animals, all the people. And by way of a projection, there's a cross on the door. There is only one way. That's it. Don't underestimate the power of the gospel in the soul, in the heart of someone that you're witnessing to. God is for their conversion, not against it. But he has to work. But sometimes I have to take, don't be ashamed of it. It's powerful. Not only that, it's plentiful. Look at the verse again. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Everyone, it's plentiful. To the Jew, also to the Greek. You know, we're wrapping this up. But I want to say this. Isn't it going to be fascinating to chart your spiritual heritage back and see how far it goes? Dr. Conklin led me to the Lord in junior church. Who led him to the Lord? Who led that person to the Lord? Who led that person to the Lord? That's something I've always wondered. What kind of lineage does my salvation bring me? And then I started realizing it doesn't matter. It's Christ anyway. But I'm so glad that Mr. Conklin was a born-again believer that could tell me how I could become one. And faithfully serving in junior church. It is powerful and it is plentiful. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. How do I do it? Stand unashamed, because then we're going to get to it. Recognize who I am in Christ. Cherish what Christ has done for me and understand the power of the gospel. It's powerful, it's plentiful. As it was experienced in my own life is exactly what others need so desperately. Here's the challenge. Live it. 3 points real fast. Make a commitment to study God's word this year like never before. Get to know your God like never before. Because you know what? That's going to be the root, the foundation upon which you're standing on to stand unashamed. Maybe you do that. Praise the Lord for you. Keep going. Don't quit. But if you don't have a daily habit of Bible reading, and I'm not talking about just reading, but Bible study, where God's word is impacting you, make a commitment this year to study God's word as never before. Second, make a commitment. This is the challenge. Make the commitment to be in God's house faithfully. And don't just be here. Come intently seeking God's next spiritual step for your life. Be growing. Get in it and grow individually. Get here and say, God, you speak to me, and I'll hit this aisle as much as it takes to keep myself growing for you. This isn't a shameful place to be. It's not. And I can come here, and people, guess what? This is a judge-free zone. Because guess what? The next week, somebody that saw you go forward, they might be going forward the next week. But there's, when you put feet to it, what is it doing? I'm not ashamed of you and what you're asking me to do. Here's the last step. Passionately and purposefully pursue the lost. Life and eternity depend on it. Study like you've never studied before. Come intently asking God to speak to you like never before, and purposefully stand on behalf of the lost in the world around you, and passionately and purposefully take the gospel where God gives you. Here's the question. standing and living for Christ in 2024, last blank, it's under the conclusion, will you commit to grow and go in 2024? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our time is gone for today. Father, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would undertake in this hour, this moment. Father, the challenge has been given. Father, let us to see with clear eyes again and anew who we are in you. Cherish exactly what you've done on the cross of Calvary for us. And then to live it. Recognize that the world needs us to live it because souls need to be saved. Father, you loved us so much, you sent your Son to die for us, and you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I wonder if there's someone that could say, you know, I recognize right away my place in Christ, who I am in Him, and I do not know Him as Savior. And if I were to die today, I would split hell wide open because there's never been a time and a place where I've accepted Him as Lord and Savior. But today, God spoke to me, and I want to make sure that I know I'm on my way to heaven. And by my upraised hand, I'm just saying, Pastor P, would you pray for me? Anybody say, I'm not sure where I would go if I were to die today, but today I would like to. Anyone like that at all? We're not tarrying long. Anyone last call? I'm just not sure. Seeing no hands, that would mean that the rest of us in this room are professing believers. I will choose as I walk out of these doors by grace and by faith to be unashamed. Or I will carry on life as I'm perhaps living it right now, not amounting to much, and quite frankly, ashamed of where I am. Are you willing to make a commitment to stand unashamed for Christ? No matter what comes our way politically, no matter what comes our way spiritually by way of persecution, no whatever happens to the economy, no whatever people do to me, no matter what, I am committing. God, I am a soldier of the cross, and I will stand unashamed for you by your grace and in your strength alone in the year 2024. God, you see my heart, you see my hand. That is my testimony. How many would you raise your hand and say, that is my testimony. That is exactly what I want this year. If that is true, you will never be the same. And people around you won't be either. Would you commit that up front? Say, God, I'm walking an aisle today to do business with you, to take 2024, study your word like I've never studied it before, be faithful and intent on worshiping together and being seriously concerned about the souls that I encounter. Father, have your will and way in our invitation this time. We're going to ask Brother Steve to sing the song. Let's stand together. We will not tarry the invitation, but if God is speaking to you and using to point you to Christ as Savior, you come, we'll help you. We'll put somebody with you that can take the Scriptures and show you how to know Christ. Or maybe you want to do right there in your seat or right down here front, God, you got me for 2024. Let's sing together, Pastor Steve.